We're talking about your fertility program on today's Ag PhD radio program. And of course, we're talking about crop fertility here. And it could be a little bit of a challenge this year. A lot of that fall work didn't get done. I know on our farm, that's sure the case. We didn't get our seed bed prep work done. We normally like to get our strip tillage done, and we have to do a little conventional tillage where we're putting on some manure and that kind of thing. So we're going to have to do some work in the spring. So I think I got another guy here that's in the same boat. We got Ty Fickenshire on. He's with Luma down in Nebraska, and he's an equipment specialist. Ty, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Well, I would be doing much better if all my seed bed prep work was done. And I'm here with our Ag PhD research lead, Glenn Herz, and we were talking about this. How are we going to do stuff in the spring? And I'm wondering, what's your area like? Did a lot of guys get their work done in the fall, or are they going to be doing a lot of spring work?
No, definitely in the same boat. There's going to be a lot of spring work that'll have to be done. I know for us, we only got about probably 15 to 20% of what we were supposed to do in the fall actually done in the fall. So that's pretty common in this area. We're fortunate enough to get through most of harvest, but yeah, the field work is going to have to wait till the snow melts.
All right. So Glenn's normally our guy that's setting up our strip till rig and making sure everything's just perfect. Glenn, what do you got for questions?
Well, I think the biggest thing that I would ask right now is, are you as afraid of probably the same thing that I am here? The guys are probably going to start up too early because we are behind the eight ball.
Yeah, I think that might be a reality. I know we had one of our neighbors here late in the fall. They said they admitted that a field was done when it should not have been done. And I think we're going to be pushing the envelope here in the spring to get in and get things done, maybe when conditions are not as ideal.
Yeah, I agree. It's just going to be one of those years. And you know, when we're doing things, it's going to be, we're normally using a shank to put some fertility down deep, but we're going to switch to coulters for the spring. What should you look for to make sure you're doing a good job?
You know, when you're running the shank, one of the main things we find, we've actually got a 16-year-old sole wear and then another machine that's a shank machine as well. And we run the end row unit, which has the shank. We just want to make sure we're not leaving, you know, a void down at the end of that knife. And we're actually going to do the same thing. Last spring, we took the shank off, did quite a few acres without the shank, just ran the coulter. And I know for one of our customers, he said it just made it a garden when he went in and plant last spring. But really, if a guy insists on using a shank, whether it's break up a hard pin or apply fertility down deep, you know, the main thing is making sure that slot that could be left by the shank is not there, is sealed up, so there's no slot for that seed to fall down, you know, below the ideal planting depth.
Say, Ty, do you guys have, do you work down there as well where you're just using wavy coulters, or are you, I mean, when you're talking, are you talking using the cog in the spring, or what do you guys use?
Yeah, like with that in row unit, that's meant to have the shank on it. And so when we pull that shank off, that just has the 22-inch 13-wave coulter leading. And there's some other configurations available as far as a a three coulter system as well. But yeah, as far as with our machine, we pull that shank off, we're just running a single wavy coulter in front.
Right. No, that, and that's something that we found here too at the farm. I mean, it really works nice. It kind of makes a nice seed bed prep coming back a day or two behind that.
Well, and it seems like with that wavy coulter too, we don't have nearly the issue of slicing as we would if it had a smooth coulter.
Right.
In fact, with that other machine, we switch it from a smooth coulter to a wavy coulter and really made a tremendous difference. So, we've been talking to lots of guys about, you know, how they can modify what they have to kind of reduce the amount of slabbing or sealing they get with a smooth coulter.
Yeah, there are just so many different things going into the spring. And, you know, as guys are running through with conventional tillage, I've heard a lot of different strategies for that, especially for the guys like you're in Nebraska. You got a lot of corn stalks to deal with. What are you talking about with farmers who are doing conventional till? What should they be looking at?
Well, as far as conventional till, we have less and less of that in this area. Right around here, we had a big switch, you know, probably 10 or 15 years ago to no-till. And now we've got strip till kind of making its way into the area pretty big. Quite a few guys switching over to strip till. But again, just like you said, that residue is the issue. you know, I have a number of guys looking at how they can do more shredding with the heads. You know, I've had a couple conversations with even baling, you know, baling some residue. One of our customers, he actually baled some of the residue and left probably half to two-thirds of the residue still out on the field. But, you know, we're pushing yield environments to that 250 to 280 bushel an acre range. You know, these hybrids, modern hybrids, seem to be, you know, a lot more leafy and leaving a lot more residue out there for us to try and figure out how to manage going into the next crop season.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. And you know, we're in this situation, too, on our farm. We're talking about continuous corn on some of this ground, and not getting everything straightened up in the fall really makes me nervous. And we're probably going to plant some soybeans first. Do you have some guys doing that as well in your area?
Yeah, there was a couple of our neighbors this last year did that, actually. And, you know, had I guess I can't speak to how good of a yield response it was, but I know that they did not have yield loss from doing that. But
no, nobody wants to talk about that. That's the thing, Ty. It's how did that turn out for you? Oh, I don't know. But they're doing it again. So that tells me that it must have worked.
Yeah. When you see the guy out there 2 years in a row doing the same thing, it kind of implies something there, right?
Yeah, I think it's funny. Now, my brother can't keep his mouth shut. So if it were to work for him, he would have told everybody immediately. And I guess I'm probably a little guilty of that too, just because I don't know. It's we don't want to keep it to ourselves, but we see a lot of guys that no, I'll just keep that under my hat for a little while until everybody else figures this out. Is that kind of what you're seeing with the strip till too, or are the guys out bragging about what they're doing, or are guys kind of no, that's okay, I'll just keep it quiet for a while?
Well, I think more than anything, my experience has been is when the neighbors see how quick the crop came up, how good the crop looks early in the season, you know, how well it stands late in the season. I don't think there needs to be any words spoken between neighbors to understand what it's doing in the field. And I think that's what's kind of led to rapid adoption of strip-till in this area.
Yeah, it's been a good deal on our farm, too. Our challenge is just getting it done when we get a fall like last year. But going into the spring, we're just going to make some adjustments to the machine and try to make that work the best we can. And the challenge is kind of what Glenn hit on right off the bat, is how do we keep, especially my brother, out of the field? Because he's the one that's like, oh, man, Darren, we got to go. And it's tough.
If I may, am I allowed to ask questions back?
Yeah, absolutely. Go for it.
Okay. So, again, with the shank setup, what's been your experience in the spring? Is it really doing the job it's supposed to as far as breaking hard pan, or can we pull that thing off?
That's funny, Ty. That's exactly where, until you cut in there, that's what I was going to ask you. You had, I'm not really a fan of the shank in the spring because of exactly what you said, where you leave that void in there. Because I want my seed placement to be the same all the way across. And if I got a spot where I've got that void in there and all of a sudden my seed drops down, you know, even if I've got hydraulic downforce or hydraulic lift or whatnot, it just simply isn't reacting quick enough. You're still going to have those gaps in there, and now I've compromised my seed depth.
Yeah, unless that soil is absolutely perfect all the way down, I think shanks are for fall. I think coulters are for spring in my mind. And the other thing is just if you're doing it with coulters, I think it takes away, like if you're doing a fall placement of P&K and you're going to put it in a single band, we've done that successfully in our farm as long as we've got RTK guidance, as long as we've got relatively straight fields where we feel like we can be right over that band. But a lot of guys don't. And I love what you're doing with the Soil Warrior machine, and you're mixing it all through the zone. Now it gives you so much more margin of error. And if we're going to have issues with field conditions and maybe the fields just aren't all perfect and square and neat, you got some curves and you got some hills to deal with, now you've got a nice window where you can place that seed, have plenty of fertility around it, and be successful. Hey, Ty, we got to let you run. We've been talking with Ty Fickenscher down in Nebraska. He's an equipment expert at LUMA. Ty, thank you so much. Really appreciate having you on.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate the time.